Welcome to the Spirit of the Delaware Valley, a special presentation of Holy Spirit Radio. And now, here's your host, Dave Parker.
Hello, this is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio, bringing to you another edition of the Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And joining me via phone is Megan Coakley, who is the director of the Office for the New Evangelization at the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, who has assented and agreed to come on and give us a view of what's going on at our Archdiocese and throughout our Catholic community. So, Megan, welcome.
Thanks, Dave. Happy to be here with you.
I'm glad you could come on. I know you are very busy. I printed out your bio, and you have some other folks, other people that work with you, your staff. Give our audience a glimpse of what it's like at your office. I know you're not a one-person operation, but you have a great staff.
Yes, we have great people serving the office. So I am the director here in the Office for the New Evangelization, and then about 2 years ago we hired Paola Herrera, who is our associate director, and she brings many gifts, but one of them is that she's also bilingual in Spanish, which is just a phenomenal gift for being able to branch out our evangelizing ministry into our Hispanic communities as well. So that's a huge gift. Mm-hmm. We also have Gina Mesco, who serves as our CCO discipleship coordinator. She is primarily a contracted staff, so she's off-site basically working with a specific ministry called Catholic Christian Outreach, which is CCO. Mm-hmm. And what she does is she coaches parishes in the CCO model of small group missionary disciple making.
Mm-hmm.
Also brand new on the docket here as of like last week is that the Archdiocesan Catholic Charismatic Renewal Delegate, who has been just recently announced as Maria Richardson, has also been placed under the auspices of my office. So Maria also works with us now. Yeah, so that's kind of fun. We have more and more awesome people to work with.
Absolutely.
This is the Catholic Charismatic Renewal, Delegate,
okay.
Maria Richardson. But actually, she is also in charge of the Eucharistic Congress. So you are not far off on that.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. I think it's a confluence of all these great things that are happening in our archdiocese.
And, oh, absolutely.
And then across the country for the Eucharistic endeavor.
Revival.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, but before we go on a little bit, tell us about yourself. How did you get and when did you get to the Archdiocese of Philadelphia?
Yes. So I am born and raised Catholic in Somerville, New Jersey. Went to Catholic school all my life, but had a major moment of falling in love with Jesus in the church when I was 18 years old on a senior class trip to Assisi.
Oh, nice.
And basically from that point on, I was on my way out to Notre Dame and so switched over to theology and kind of never looked back. So my background is all in theological studies. And I think really from that point on knew that I wanted to work and serve in the church. And so I've had various jobs in the church, kind of mostly in New Jersey, and then was looking for a job and found an opening here in Philadelphia when Archbishop Shapu was our ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And so in 2012 is when I came down here to Philadelphia and started in the area of evangelization. So I've been here for 11 years.
Wow. Well, thank you for telling our faithful listeners of Holy Spirit Radio about your background. And I know, and we kind of talked about this in the warm-up, that you've been on our air, but not with me, but maybe with Barbara Schinkel in the past.
Correct.
You've done some things, talking about the events. And I want to get into that as well. So maybe we can kind of jump into that now. I have to thank you because most of the public service announcements or the PSAs that I read come from the flock notes and come from your events page, as well as, individual parishes do, ask us to, to advertise and to get these PSAs out. But I thank you because you're providing a lot of good script for me.
It's a pleasure. I have to say it's probably one of my favorite dimensions of this job, being a central administration. I can be that centralizing force or presence for all the local apostolic work that's happening here. So, Philadelphia, as a local church, has tremendous people here, tremendous Catholics, people of prayer, people of faith, people who love the church and her teachings, who are doing awesome stuff. So the fact that I can kind of be a central depository where they send me the info, I can put it in one place and push it out.
Yes.
It's a great honor, because what we see is the fruits of how the Lord is moving in our local church, and he's moving everywhere.
Absolutely.
So thanks for tuning into it, and everyone else is welcome to tune into that as well to find out not only what's happening in my office, but really we try to capture as much as what's going on in the diocese as a whole.
And we're a very, very busy, well, large and busy archdiocese.
Yes, we are.
and I was going to say... Also from, your theology background, and I want to give a shout out to Monsignor McGee and the team that you're on about the seminar, the ICF, Institute for Christian Formation. Mm-hmm. I happen to be, in the second year of the seminar program at the seminary.
Great.
And you presented several, I think, at least one time in the last quarter. But that's what you do as well. I mean, you're not just a 9-to-5-er,
I would say, one of my deepest vocations is to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. So I try to get out as much as I can. In fact, one of the biggest initiatives that's going on through the office and really in the diocese right now is Archbishop Perez's call for this, basically to create a culture of missionary discipleship. And so Paola and I both, and Gina actually, are all out and about teaching missionary discipleship kind of in every way, shape, and form that we can. I'm happy to tell you kind of about the specific trainings we're offering. But yes, teaching is a big part of my job.
Well, in my quick study of activities that are under your office and the Archdiocese, talk more about what you just mentioned, and it's a new initiative. And if you will, I mean, what does that mean?
Sure.
What does that all mean? And you say the three of you are out in the parishes. How so?
Yes.
What does that entail?
Well, so we'll start with what it means. So really, as soon as Archbishop Perez came on board, right, I guess it was February of 2020, he sat me down and said, I'm handing you the task of creating a culture of missionary disciples in this diocese. okay.
I'm sorry, can I say, aren't you glad he sat you down first?
and
you weren't standing
absolutely.
And shocked you?
No, I mean, he's really, and what's beautiful is he's saying this to every administrator in the Archdiocese and Pastoral Center, youth and young adults, Catholic education, directors of religious education. He is asking everyone to get on board. Mm-hmm. I just happen to be the office that's like the center point of that.
Mm-hmm.
But so we did some discernment and really, I guess 2 years ago, launched three projects out of this commission for missionary disciples that the Archbishop asked me to form. And one of them is the schools of missionary discipleship. So we have created a 12-session course that basically goes for a year, teaching people, number one, the disciple side of missionary discipleship, which is personal prayer, conforming our life to the life of Christ, so like morality, church teaching, things like that. And then six more sessions on the mission side of missionary discipleship, which is learning the actual skill sets for mission. So, for example, how to share your personal testimony, how to share the gospel in a succinct and simple manner for someone, how to issue invitations, how to be in the habit of getting out of your comfort zone and talking to strangers, things like that, things that really we Catholics are a little bit uncomfortable with, but it is at the heart of missionary discipleship. So we've created these schools to really walk with people so they can go deep and really pick up this this culture of missionary discipleship and begin to live it. Mm-hmm. So that's the first one. I want to pause and see if you have questions before I move on to the second project.
Well, I pulled up Forming Missionary Disciples, and there's, if I could do a little quote, the first line, and I think it goes over to another page, but I'll just say, whenever a person has a life-changing encounter with Jesus, we know that it is Jesus himself who has initiated this event. The task of the missionary disciple is not to make this encounter happen. We can trust Jesus to take care of that. Instead, our job is to create conditions that dispose a person to this encounter. So,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Did you? And that's it in a heartbeat.
Did you write that? Was that your writing?
I did write that. It's
I'm sure
it's funny.
You did.
At first, I thought you were reading from Sherry Waddell, and I thought, oh no, that's fine. I wrote that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, again, and Emmy goes on to say, but I mean, if someone's hearing this and they say, wow, I haven't heard of this, how do they get in contact with this or get in touch with this? Is there a webpage for this particular outreach?
Yes, so I would suggest going to phillyevange.org/events. So that's my office website, phillyevange.org/events. And on there are all the, sub events and initiatives going on and through my office. From there, they would be able to tap into the missionary discipleship trainings. So that's probably a good central place for anything I'm going to talk about today. Mm-hmm. That's a great place to go to find out more information and how you can register.
Okay. Excellent.
I do want to mention as well with this particular training, we recognize that 12 sessions over the course of a year is not feasible for most people who have full-time jobs and small children and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we did create a mini version of the schools, which we're calling Go Make Disciples, and that's just 3 half-day Saturdays in the fall.
Hmm.
So you can find that as well on the same website, but that's just for people who don't have the time to do a year but want to start getting started with missionary discipleship. It's a great way to get at least get your toe in the water.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. Is there a cost for this?
Yes, for the mini course, which is 3 half-day sessions, it's $25, and then the full course, the 12-session one, is $100 total.
Hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, thank you.
Tried to keep it pretty low.
Oh yeah, that's very, very reasonable, at least from my vantage point. And
of course, if anyone can't afford that, we're always happy to help accommodate for
yeah,
sure.
I knew you were going to say that. I really did.
Yeah.
No, really.
We Catholics, we know.
Yeah, absolutely. Not, we're all brothers and sisters, and some may need a little bit of assistance from time to time, and we're happy to do that. We're blessed to do that. Okay, so go on and expound on this a little bit more. Go on with what you want to talk about further. I mean, there's so much here. So go ahead.
Yeah, there really is a lot. The Archbishop he's just really setting a fire and asking everybody to come running with him. I would say the second main initiative that's more for the general archdiocese would be the Archbishop's Go Forth Texting Initiative.
Mm, yes.
So essentially, starting last Ash Wednesday and continuing until February 2024, the Archbishop is sending out a weekly text message that contains just one challenge for that week that a person can do. It's super practical to deepen their discipleship, right? So to grow in friendship with Jesus or to like hone their skills for mission. So the Archbishop may challenge them to go out and like introduce themselves to their mail carrier or to their bank teller, somebody that they see all the time that they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so each week everyone is getting one of these challenges. And the goal is that as we walk with the Archbishop for a full year, we will have been schooled in this habit and mindset of missionary discipleship. So anybody can join the Archbishop's list. Easiest way to do that is to go to phillydisciples.org/goforth.
Mm-hmm. I'm looking at mine right now on my cell phone.
Oh, nice. Your text from Sunday?
Yes.
Which we're supposed to read Evangelii Gaudium, yes?
Yes. Yes.
I think that's what he asked
I think
us to
this,
do.
Yes. I was really busy yesterday, so when I get home tonight, I will look at this. But I also get the Spanish version.
Yes.
Because
yes. Both
languages. Right, thank you for that. So I will read the Archbishop's Go Forth, but I learned of it. I go to St. Francis Gabrini Parish, which our listeners know.
Great.
And back there was a long run up, in the bulletin, and everybody mm-hmm. go to this and text. And there was a big push at my parish to have
wonderful. That. I'm happy to hear that.
Yeah, so I hope you're getting other good feedback to share with the Archbishop on that.
Yes, we had, our goal, I think, when we launched was to have, 2,000 people, and we have over 5,000. So,
wow.
Yeah, the parish has really helped us by pushing it, among their communities, and that's the biggest grab is when your own pastor tells you,
oh,
this is going to be great, listen to the Archbishop.
Absolutely, and that was it. Hey, everyone, listen to our Archbishop, our leader, our spiritual leader
exactly.
in the Archdiocese. All right.
Yes.
What else would you like to talk about, Megan? I'll leave it
well,
up to
I'll
you.
Mention one other thing that is slightly diverging from missionary discipleship, although all of it, of course, is really missionary discipleship. But I will mention the Catholic Women's Conference, since you have been running ads for me.
Mm-hmm.
That is an awesome event that happens at Our Lady of Częstochowa every year. This year will be Saturday, October 28th. It sells out every year at 1,300 women. We offer a track in English and Spanish. We try to bring in really, you know, the best national speakers that we can find who will really help women experience the love of Jesus, his deeply personal love, and to open up and discover their feminine genius. So we're really big on John Paul II's teachings on the feminine genius.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to help women embrace that and live that so that the world can become more what it's supposed to be, right? And without mm-hmm. women, the world can't become what it's supposed to be. So the world desperately needs us, and we hope mm-hmm. we like this conference to help women go out there and be who we are, who God created us to be.
Absolutely. Thank you. And the reason I voiced it about a week and a half ago, thinking I know how fast it fills up, and I know people, yeah. women in my parish and other parishes around me, like Queen of the Universe or mm-hmm. St. Mike's in Levittown. I mean, I mm-hmm. bump into people. But there's a need, and sometimes they don't know, even though they may have attended in the past. Because their lives are so busy. People are so busy in their lives. So I figured I'm going to do this just to air it, you know, get it out there. And it's not too early.
It's not too early. Yeah, that's the one thing we've learned. We open up in May for exactly that reason, and mm-hmm. we'll see what happens. Now, this year will be a little different because there is the Eucharistic Congress the month before, mm-hmm. which I'm also happy to talk about, but my guess is Father Gill is going to talk about that,
No. Well, I mean, maybe put your, I don't want to say 2 cents, but put your perspective.
Your spin.
Because everyone should be knowing about this and get ready to participate. Right. What would you say about it, Megan?
Well, I guess, obviously, the prime centerpiece of the Eucharistic Congress is Jesus and the Eucharist. So I think the intention is just that everyone comes and experiences the Mass as the Church intends the Mass to be celebrated. As you know, this will be up at the Częstochowa Shrine as well. And so mm-hmm. there's that presence of Our Lady up there that just makes prayer easier somehow.
Absolutely.
And then throughout the day, Eucharistic adoration. So that the centerpiece is Jesus himself. There couldn't be any more keynote than mm-hmm. the Eucharistic Lord. But we have also invited wonderful national speakers. And before I mention some of them, I will say probably one of the other uniquenesses of this particular Congress is how many tracks there are.
Mm.
So there's going to be an English adult track, Spanish adult track. There will also be a track in American Sign Language. There will also be a college student's track, a track for teenagers, and a track for children. So
wow. mm-hmm.
everybody in the family is welcome. The goal is that families can come together, spend some time together, and then, you know, the young ones can break out into their tracks. And the goal is that we're helping each person just having a deeper encounter with the Eucharistic Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Probably the biggest excitement as far as the speakers go would be that Blessed Carlo Acutis's mother is coming.
Oh,
and
yes.
And so she will be giving a short reflection towards the end, I believe, during the Eucharistic adoration at the end. So that's a big one, along with Dr. Ed Sree, who everybody loves, right,
mm-hmm.
from the
I love him.
Institute
yes, we
Focus.
Do. Yeah, our parish, yeah. we have done programs of his, you know, during
yes.
Advent or Lent or whatever. Or yes, Dr. Sree is excellent. Yes.
And then, of course, Bishop Burbidge will be giving the keynote for everyone. And then, anyway, you can go to the Congress website to see the whole lineup of speakers. But it really is going to be a beautiful day, and especially mm-hmm. under Our Lady's care. I imagine it's just going to bring a lot of grace for a lot of people.
Amen. Amen. And any other events that you want to highlight? Every parish has so many. And again, that's you provide grist for the mill, as I tell. You know, because I said, wow, people might want to go here or hear about this.
Yeah.
I can't do them all. I mean, you know, and we do them in either like 30 seconds or 60 second spots. I'm doing stuff that we rely also on Catholic Phillies, a lot of good mm-hmm. articles, you know, about what's going on here in the Archdiocese. So I try to mix it up. We try to mix it up to keep our listeners up to speed. Usually they'll hear about it through church or their parish, but sometimes not. So, and we get calls occasionally saying, well, you know, thanks, or we get our own feedback. So again, thank you for all that. Anything else you would you want to just share with our listeners?
Sure. I'd love to share about one initiative that we're doing that is not publicly known, because it's primarily work we're doing with parishes and staff of our parishes. One of the things we discerned as far as creating this culture of missionary discipleship is that If we're going to win over the culture of our local church, the first group that we have to win over to deep love for Jesus are the people who work in our parishes. I think, like all of us who've been Catholic for a long time, it's very possible to be Catholic a very long time and still not have tasted Jesus's deep personal love for you. And so what we did was we developed a retreat. And the sole purpose of that retreat is to proclaim the depth of Jesus' love for you personally, and then invite the participants to, by the end of the retreat, make a decision to put him at the center of their life. This is what the church calls the kerygma, right? The core proclamation of the gospel that is, it's the foundation, it's the cornerstone of all discipleship. And so we have to have that encounter with him if we're going to be call ourselves disciples. So we're offering this retreat right now, not publicly. We're offering it kind of by invitation only to pastors and their staff.
Okay.
So I want people to know that we're doing that, because they wouldn't know of that normally. And I think many people kind of recognize that maybe even in their own parishes, there could be a little more fire burning than they currently see. And so this, I want people to know that we are aware of that, and we are working together to really try to help set everyone on fire, including our own staff. Eventually, I think these retreats will be made publicly available, so like anyone could go. But for right now, I think we really sense that we want to gather together our employees of our parishes. And help them taste that love first.
Yeah, train the core team. And
Start in the center and move out.
Exactly. But you anticipated I was going to ask, I mean, might it go, might you open it up at some point in the future? And you said...
absolutely.
Absolutely. And I think that would be another wonderful program. Something just popped into my mind.
It's
the word synod. Anything in the synodality and the synodal... and efforts that are going on. I mean, now I think everyone had to respond, or they were asked to respond in the last year or two. And then that information was, I'm a military guy, it was rolled up to the Archdiocese and all the
time.
And then it went forth up to the, USCCB? And then
USCCB.
Up, and then up to, out to Rome. So anything to report on that?
Nothing further has been heard on my end as far as concrete application or directives from Rome at this point. I mean, my sense specifically with the synod is that our phase is done. It's now in the Roman side, and then depending on the synod of bishops whenever that comes around. What I would say, though, is I do sense that the archbishop's emphasis on missionary discipleship has this synodality built into it, because missionary discipleship is all about walking together, walking with someone to Christ. And that's what synodality is. It is literally walking together.
Yes.
So I think why I like the word missionary disciple better than synodality, only because synodality, no one knows what it means. It's not directly obvious, although missionary disciple can also be unclear to people. But nonetheless, I like missionary discipleship better, because it brings in walking together, but you're walking together in a specific direction, and that direction is Jesus Christ and his church.
Amen.
And so it's not just this kind of vague, ambiguous walking and dialoguing. It has a specific direction, and that is the salvation of souls. So I think the Archbishop definitely, in what he's doing, has captured the Holy Father's intent, and I think definitely the way that is going is also fulfilling what the Holy Father has asked of us.
Excellent. Well, certainly you are key in this whole endeavor. I mean, by virtue of where you are and by what the Holy Spirit, I mean, you know, has placed a burning fire and zeal into you, you know, as a leader.
Yeah.
You know, and a follower.
Yeah, please pray for me, everyone. Yeah. I have, yeah, it's a heavy job, but it's beautiful. Absolutely love it, but it's a heavy job.
Absolutely. Would you be averse to closing us out, Megan, with a prayer?
Sure, I would love it.
Okay.
Thanks. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for the gift of our existence, the gift of our life today. And I praise and thank you for each soul that is listening to us right now. And I ask that you would pour into each one of them an encounter with your great delight in their existence, that each person listening would experience your great pleasure in their existence and their uniqueness before you. And I ask, Heavenly Father, that you would send your Holy Spirit upon each of us and upon our parishes and upon our families in this local church, that you will make us pleasing to Jesus and set us all on fire for the salvation of more and more souls. And we pray all of this in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Well, Megan Coakley, thank you so much for being a guest on Spirit of the Delaware Valley. And I know,
Thanks, Dave. And I know
our listeners, our faithful Holy Spirit Radio family of listeners will enjoy this. And thank you again. And you're always welcome to come back on and talk about anything that you would like. So,
thanks so much.
All right. This is Dave Parker at Holy Spirit Radio saying thank you and take care. God bless.